Lord, we do praise you. We do thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that we can worship you and we can praise you, Lord. And it's pleasing to you when it comes to the heart. Lord, we need you here this morning. We need your presence here. Lord, I don't think there's a single person in this room that doesn't need a touch from you. Touch our hearts, touch our spirits, Lord, touch our lives. Open your word for us, please. Lord, I pray that you'd open heaven for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a lot of scriptures today. You know, the best sermons always come right from the Bible, right? Of course, today is Communion Sunday. And so we're going to be talking about examining ourselves. Something we always have to do, isn't it? Lamentations 3:40 and 41. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. As Jeremiah lamented over the destruction of Jerusalem, he called for the people to examine themselves and to turn to God. He is our only answer, isn't he? In our opening scripture, Paul tells us the proper observance of the Lord's Supper. He wrote that it's a time for self-examination. Why is it so important at that time? Because this is a very serious thing that we do on the first Sunday of every month. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." What it represents is his sacrifice, his dying on the cross for our sins. And it deserves all the honor we can give it. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." That's something we don't want to be. That means disapproved. That means disqualified. That means just turned away from God. In fact, it means turned away from God so much that he can no longer reach us. Is that possible? I don't know. I'm not going to find out. So we could talk about that all day back and forth, but I'm not going to find out. So it doesn't apply to me. Right? Reprobates. He said, examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. You know, the verbs used there are all in the present tense. That means it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? It's an ongoing activity. How often do we have to do it? He lets us know, doesn't he? We should do it every day. Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. What that means is we just keep following him. We examine ourselves and we keep on that path towards him. Why should we examine ourselves? That verse I just read tells us, are we in the faith? Am I a faithful Christian? Am I remaining a faithful Christian? there is a danger of drifting away. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And it's a gradual thing. We have to be on guard against that all the time. You know the term backsliding. When I think of that term, I think of where I lived in Oregon, Prineville, Oregon, and there was, no matter how you went into that town, you had to go down a hill. People that live in that town called it the hole. But in the wintertime, we got a lot of snow, and we got a lot of ice in the roads. And if you want to make it up that hill, you have to keep moving. Because if you try to stop and stand still, what do? You slide back. It's the same with our Christian walk, isn't it? He mentioned an evil heart. Where is that? I don't see it. Oh, in Hebrews 2:1, he mentioned an evil heart. No, he doesn't. I see. Read your notes, Wayne. We can develop an evil heart of unbelief. Now it says it. Hebrews 3:12-14. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What does that mean? It means we finish strong. Our heart steadfast to the end. We can develop an evil heart of unbelief. Do we really know ourselves? I saw a meme on Facebook, and sometimes you see some things on there that are really good. It showed this toddler, and he's got this quizzical look on his face, and he's asking a question. He's saying, you say God knows your heart, and you think that's a good thing? How many times have you heard someone say, well, God knows my heart? But Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. So do we really know ourselves? We're supposed to examine ourselves. By whose standards do we examine ourselves? By our own standards? In the book of Acts, before his encounter with the Lord, the Apostle Paul thought that his persecuting the Christians was the right thing to do. He thought he was doing it for God. And you get right down to it, the religious leaders in Israel thought that they were crucifying, their crucifying of Jesus was what they should do. Because they didn't fully understand who he was. They didn't fully understand his mission. We can be deceived, can't we? How about examining ourselves using man's standards? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:3 said, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. 2 Corinthians 10:12, Paul said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they're measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We should never compare ourselves to other people. We can either become vain or bitter. Man's standards. Man is imperfect, so how can his standards be perfect? People are often wrong in their evaluations. Many of these will be lost forever. Jesus in Matthew 7:13-14 said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. you. Many that are religious will be surprised. I think I've shared this before, a story about a pastor that was on an airplane. And he's sitting next to this young lady, and they strike up a conversation. He mentions to her that he's a pastor. And just then, the airplane does one of those things that it does every once in a while. You know, it kind of dropped about 500 feet real fast, and she turns to him and she says, "Quick, do something religious." So he took up an offering. But many that are religious, that rely on their religion, rely on what they do, are going to be surprised. Matthew 7:21-23, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." When we examine ourselves, we need to examine what our relationship with him is about. Because I'm not very religious. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I find that to be of a lot more value than to be religious. So, not by our own standards and not by the standards of others. Then how, by whose standards do we use to examine ourselves? Only by the light of God's Word can we honestly examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 10:18, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." The Lord is the ultimate judge. 1 Corinthians 4:4, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." So how do we know? How can we be sure? There's some questions we need to ask ourselves. Question number one, is Jesus Christ in me? Jesus made us a promise in John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." He and the Father will dwell in us. Is that salvation by works? No, that just shows that what we are because of our salvation. If he's really in us, then we're going to be doing the things he wants us to do, right? We don't do it because we don't do it to be saved. We do it because we're saved. Question number two, am I bearing fruit? The Bible, I'm tempted to say Paul because I tend to think that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but I'll just say not everybody agrees with that. But the Bible mentions three types of fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. It lists them. It says, "Love, joy, and peace." You notice those are inward, aren't they? They're inside us. The next three are long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, which is outward. How we act to other people. Faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what we become. If he's in us. Fruit of the praise of my lips. That's the second one. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Gretchen, when that truck broke down you were in, did you thank God for it? It's kind of hard to do. Not everybody thanks God when they run out of gas out in the middle of nowhere, do they? But you know what? That's the will of God for Christ in our lives. He had a reason for that.
Thank him for having Johnny
There you go. But it's the attitude we have when we're willing to accept the things that happen. Doesn't mean we understand them. But do we believe God's at work? Yeah. Then there's the fruit of good works. Titus 3:14, and let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be fruitful. You know, how we live speaks to a lot of people. That's quite a testimony, good or bad. Question number three, do I have the attitude of a true disciple? We're going to look at what Paul has to say in Philippians 3:7 through 14. It's a little bit lengthy, but I wasn't going to cut any of it out, so I didn't. This is Paul's attitude. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I have to ask myself if that's describing me. Do the things of this world mean anything to me? No. They're either going to break down real fast, or they're going to be stolen, or they're going to rust, or nothing lasts anymore, does it? We don't buy things. I think we just rent the use of them. Question number four, am I abiding in his word? John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Question number five, do I love my brethren like Christ loves me? John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And verse 18 of our opening scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:18. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. That's not showing love one to another, is it? That doesn't mean we always agree. But we don't let those disagreements divide us. I'm going to ask Brother George and Pastor Ivan to come forward and hand out the elements. And while they're being handed out, I'm going to ask that everybody bow your head and examine your hearts, examine yourselves, and talk to God about what you see there. Just, it's a time to make things right with God. It may be that you've never received Jesus Christ, your Savior. You need to do that, obviously, first and foremost. It may be that you have hidden sin. You need to ask for forgiveness. It may be that you have something against your brother or your sister. You need to talk to God about that. See, it's one thing to examine ourselves, but we also have to make it good with God, don't we? Maybe your relationship with Him isn't as strong or as good as you think it should be. Actually, maybe we all have to talk to Him about that one.